Spirits has now become common. You know, there's always been New Age groups around, New Age teachings, you know, going back centuries, you know, and certainly in North American culture, Western European culture, there's always been these kind of groups. But they've been very, very tiny, you know, very, very tiny. And now, especially over the last 20 years, what we're going to look at today is how this has exploded over the last 20 years and some of the influences behind this explosion. Okay, what do you know, we have it dissolved. Robert C. Fuller is a professor, and he wrote a book called Spiritual But Not Religious. And what he meant by that, how many of you ever met somebody, raise your hand, you know somebody who says they're spiritual but not religious. Okay? Anyhow, what that means is they don't go to church. They're not part of any formal religion. You know, they're not a Mennonite, or they're not a Presbyterian, or they're not a Lutheran. But they still claim to be spiritual. And usually that's a code word for New Age spirituality. That, you know, you don't have to be connected to any type of a church, because if you're connected to a church, you're usually connected to a set of religious dogma, you know, a set of beliefs that usually are Christian, or almost always some form of Christianity. But if you're a New Ager, you can be spiritual, but not religious. Anyhow, this book is very informative. He wrote this book about how this is becoming, you know, quite common over the last 20, 30 years. And he made some points in this book that I want to share with you. The first one is that, boy, that sure is kind of fuzzy. Not very sharp, but I think I can read it. Can you all read it? Okay. Over the past decade, I think I need new glasses. Over the past decade, bookstores have emerged as the most important centers of unchurched spirituality. And that's what I was, for those of you who were here during my first talk, that's what we were looking at, that, you know, many of the major chain bookstores will have 60 to 90 shelves devoted to New Age spirituality. So you don't have to go to a church. You probably noticed, those of you from the Winnipeg area have noticed that there, you know, aren't any really New Age churches there, but there seem to be a large number of books in the New Age section in like Chapters bookstore, and that's because you don't need churches to meditate. See, churches are like places people go to worship, right? You go to church to worship. You know, you sing hymns, and you have sermons, and, you know, there's fellowship there. In mysticism, you don't need a church. You don't need to go somewhere and congregate with people and hear sermons. You get your sermons from supernatural sources, and you can do that in your own house. You know, you can sit in your own living room and meditate and get your sermons from you know, familiar spirits. So we're going to look at some of the books that have influenced a large number of people. This is a publishing company out of St. Paul, Minnesota, not too far from here. I mean, somewhat far, but not real far. And the name of the company is Llewellyn Publishing. Llewellyn Publishing. And they've been around for a number of years, a number of decades, but in the last 20 years they've exploded. And this is their catalog. And I saw some things in the catalog that are somewhat alarming. Okay, in the front of the catalog is their top 35 bestsellers. Now, you can't see them too well here, but okay, this one here is Wicca for the Solitary Practitioner. And this one here is Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft. And as you can see, you know, they all have some candle burning rituals. They all have some kind of, this one is charms, spells, and, you know, they all have some kind of connection with witchcraft. And they have the number sold underneath here, and I totaled them up. And it came to 7 million books. 7 million books, so only, don't, you know, they have like 300-400 titles in their catalog, and their top 35 best-selling ones had sold 7 million copies. And this was back in 2000. I got a hold of their more recent catalog. And this one had doubled. This one had sold like 650,000. There it's like 300 some thousand. And this one had went from like 300,000 to half a million or so. So I would say that these 35 top-selling books, instead of having sold 7 million, now have sold 14 million. You know, and that's almost half the population of Canada. You know, just their 35 of their top-selling books. Okay, religion. I was talking to the gentleman over there that's running the mic system here, and he used to work in Chapters Bookstore, and he confirmed to me that, you know, the religious section was mainly made up of New Age authors. You know, he worked at the Chapters Bookstore in Winnipeg, and he said that, you know, the religious section is predominantly New Age. And we're going to see some of the New Age Judaism, ancient wisdom for the modern world. I got this at you just go to the Jewish section of a normal bookstore. I didn't get this at a New Age bookstore. This is, you know, something you'd see at a Chapters Bookstore, you know, in the religion section, you know, the religion section under Judaism. So, what does it say? Oh, man.
Read the other one.
Okay. Let's see if I can. Judaism is undergoing an exciting renaissance today. Religious organizations, as Jewish religious organizations, are slowly responding to the pressure put on them to bring forth mystical teachings. I have seen several Orthodox Jewish organizations begin to offer classes in Kabbalah. Now, the Kabbalah is the Jewish mystical tradition. It's basically Jewish New Ageism. When only last year they spoke out vehemently against the study of Kabbalah. So this is Melinda. Melinda Ribner, she's a teacher of meditation, of Jewish meditation. And she is saying that, you know, before they were vehemently speaking out against this, and now they're beginning to offer classes. There's been a paradigm shift. Things are moving from opposition to acceptance. Now this person, this man, he was raised a Lutheran in northern North Dakota, you know, probably not too far from here. I think North Dakota is mostly Lutheran, right? Either Lutheran or Catholic. And his name is Dr. Marcus Ford. You know, comes from a Lutheran background in North Dakota. And so he left North Dakota, went off and became a highly educated person. And he abandoned his Lutheran faith and embraced New Ageism. And he's written many, many books, which are highly popular, I might add, with pastors who are Anglican or United Church pastors. You know, I talked to a United Church pastor in Vancouver, and he said that, you know, this man was extremely popular in the United Church among pastors. And he says, I learned about the use of mantras. Remember we talked about mantras yesterday? I learned about the use of mantras as a means of giving the mind something to focus and refocus on as it sinks into silence. And that's that empty mind state that we were talking about. So Marcus Ford, you'll find many of his books in the Christian section of, sorry folks, I don't want to feel neglected, but you understand the circumstances, right? So this is what I'm talking about, is you don't have to go to a church to get this. All you have to do is go to the Christian section of a regular bookstore, and you'll see, here's a copy of his book, The God We Never Knew. Well, see, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. This God we never knew is the God that Christians never knew. You know, this is the God that Christians never knew, because this is the God of the New Age. Marcus Borg is talking about the God of the New Age, this energy, this force that is in everything. And he promotes this. He's very popular in mainstream denominations. Business, the business world. You go to the business section of bookstores and you'll see many books. This is called The Corporate Mystic. And it's written by a guy named Gay Hendricks, that's short for Gaylord. And this book is endorsed by two of the top motivational trainers in the business world. You probably have heard of, how many have heard of a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Okay, you've heard of it? Okay, this book is, the only thing this book is on is mysticism. This is not a book that covers a wide gamut of subjects. It is solely on mysticism. you know, a new age mysticism. And see, it says here, a guide for visionaries, you know. And anyhow, the first person to endorse this book is Ken Blanchard. And he wrote a book called The 1 Minute Manager, a very popular book. And he says, if you want to lead your enterprise into the 21st century, read this powerful book, Ken Blanchard. And then the second one is Dr. Stephen Covey, who wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he says, this important book will sweep you into a different level of consciousness, a different level of consciousness, one of a spiritual perspective and feeling, so necessary in future leadership. So my point is, if there was just a book like this out there, it wouldn't be that, you know, important. It wouldn't be that influential. But when you have Ken Blanchard and Stephen Covey endorsing it, that means that this is where the business world is going. You know, this is where the corporate world is headed. Okay, this is a current book. This is out in bookstores right now. It's called Super Rich, A Guide to Having It All. And this kind of ties in with my talk on yoga yesterday. This is Russell Simmons, and he was a hip-hop entrepreneur. You've heard of rap music, right? Well, rap music is about as far away as from your typical new age type of lifestyle that you can get. You know, gangster rap, it's all about violence and drugs and things like that. Well, he was head of a record company that dealt with hip-hop music. And somebody took him to a yoga class. One of his buddies, as he put it, drug him to a yoga class. And he went, you know, just for the exercise element. And he got involved in the spiritual aspects of it. He became a meditator. And so he hooked up with, you know, spiritual forces that are behind yoga. And he wrote this book. And he says that, here's a bio of him. Simmons is a rap impresario and founder of Def Jam Records, Back Farm, and the Hip Hop Summit, and with Morrow, co-author of Do You Explore What It Means to Be Truly Rich and Fulfilled Through Two Tenets. The twin paths to enlightenment, according to Simmons, are first, remaining fully conscious and connected to the world. And that means just being, you know, in the world as a normal person. The second, believing that the universe will then reward and flood you with gifts and opportunity. And by the universe, he means God. He's talking about God. The second precept, drawing heavily from the laws of attraction, such as found in The Secret. That's a book we're going to be looking at later. In other words, if you're in tune with your higher self, your inner divinity, that you will be rewarded and flooded with gifts and opportunity. So that's what he means by being super rich. You can only be super rich if you're in touch with higher consciousness. Okay, self-help. This is probably the most influential aspect of the New Age movement because people have no idea that this type of spirituality is secular. That may sound like an oxymoron, but this is a secular spirituality. Like I said, non-religious. Now, I'm told that you folks get public television from North Dakota, right? Now, how many of you have recognized this person? This is Dr. Wayne Dyer, and he's quite frequently on public television in the U.S., and I would call him the Billy Graham of the New Age, because he is, you know, so widely influential, and he's very sneaky. There's something about him that I consider to be very disingenuous. Like, he'll start off his talks with quoting from the Bible, you know, he'll say, as the New Testament says, or as Jesus says, and then the whole, you know, right in the first minute, and then the whole rest of the talk, he'll talk about Buddha and, you know, Hinduism and things like that, and, you know, it'll be an outright New Age talk, and then at the end, the very end, the last minute, he'll say, as Jesus tells us, or as the New Testament tells us. So he starts with, you know, with something sounding Christian, then the 98.9% of the talk will be New Age, and then he'll end with something that sounds Christian. So, you know, you see what he's doing? He's kind of making you think that by quoting from the Bible or mentioning Jesus, that what he's talking about is what Jesus is talking about. But Jesus certainly did not come to tell us that we were God, you know, your sacred self. Your sacred self. This is the gist of his talk. And like I said, you know, just because there's a book out there like that or a guy out there like this that, you know, is on TV, doesn't necessarily mean that much. But he has sold 50 million books. Wayne Dyer has sold 50 million books. Well, that, and with over 30 titles, that is a lot of people, folks. That is a lot of people influenced by this. 50 million books. So in other words, you know, you go to the self-help section, you got some kind of emotional problem, or, you know, you want to have a happier life, and you see one of his books. Like I said, there's 30 titles. And usually at a bookstore, there's a whole shelf and a half of his books. So you pick one up, and you know, his books are all about meditation. You know, so you start meditating, and you become a convert. Okay, this woman is Louise Hay. She's known as the Queen of the New Age. And she wrote a book called You Can Heal Your Life. You know, this is, again, 40 million copies sold just of that one book. You Can Heal Your Life, 40 million copies. Well, that's like 6 million more people who live in Canada, I believe. And that's, you know, all over the world, mainly the English-speaking world. But in this book, You Can Heal Your Life, what she's talking about is, you know, meditation and the higher self, what we talked about yesterday, that you can meditate, you know, get in touch with, I feel, our spirit guides, that she would call it your higher self, and then your life is healed. Well, she sold, you know, when you sell 40 million copies, that's a lot of money. And so she started her own company called Hay House. And, you know, notice the term here, look within. Look within. And that means meditate, basically. And Hay House has dozens of titles and, again, has sold millions of books, not just hers, but other authors. Okay, such as Marianne Williamson. Marianne Williamson has been promoted on Oprah, and this is her book that's been on the New York Times bestseller list here, A Course in Weight Loss. And it says here, the spiritual lessons for surrendering your weight forever. There you go. Spiritual lessons for surrendering your weight forever. And in other words, they combine, in self-help, they combine New Age consciousness, New Age teachings with things like losing weight or being healthier. I find it surprising that most, if not all of the most popular New Age authors are not found in the New Age section. They're found in the self-help section. You know, remember I showed you, how many were here yesterday? Remember I showed you those shelves, you know, 60 shelves? Well, the most popular, Marianne Williamson and Wayne Dyer are not in that section, they're in the self-help section. So this is quite significant. Deepak Chopra, again, you don't find him in the New Age section, you find him in the self-help section. And he is one of the major proponents and advocates of these type of practices. He has sold 20 million books. And as you can see, he's from India. And he used to be very closely connected with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi of Transcendental Meditation fame. But now we're good. That's his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, one of the top-selling books of the 1990s. So millions and millions of people that are just like you, you know, normal people, are buying these books and becoming indoctrinated in New Age spirituality. But what is behind it? Now we're going to look at what the power behind some of these authors are. So get ready. Hold on to your hats here. Okay, the message that these authors all share is that you are God. I mean, that is what you get from, you know, four people that we've just seen in the, you know, hundreds like that. You are God. Okay, looking behind the curtain. We're going to see where these people are connected to, where they're coming from. You know, you got to dig sometimes to find exactly what somebody's really saying, what their foundation is. And this is a medium who was popular in the 1960s named Jane Roberts. And here she is in a trance, possessed by the demon Seth. and she channeled a book called Seth Speaks. And Seth, like I said, was a demonic spirit, and spoke through Jane Roberts, and here she is in a trance, and Seth is speaking through her. And it's very creepy, you know, very scary. And then when you see who likes this book, who's connected to this book, you know, then it really gets scary. Okay, Louise Hay, the one that I showed you, the Queen of the New Age, says, I would like to see the Seth books as required reading for anyone on their spiritual pathway. Anyone on their spiritual pathway. You know, a demonic spirit. Okay? Marianne Williamson says, Seth was one of my first metaphysical teachers. He remains a constant source of knowledge and inspiration. Now, notice they don't say Jane Roberts. You know, it has nothing to do with Jane Roberts. Seth is the one that, you know, she didn't say Jane Roberts, she says Seth was one of my first metaphysical teachers. What we're dealing with here is doctrines of demons, you know, demonic spirits that are behind these major authors.